Hi, everyone. I'm Kartik Subbarao, Global Lead for the Open Source and Linux Profession. Today we have our very own Bruno Cornack from HP Services. Bruno will give his presentation for about the first 45 minutes, and then we'll do Q&A in the next 45 minutes. We'll be recording this call, and we'll make it available to download internally on opensource.professions.hp.com. Bruno is the lead developer on Mondo Rescue, which is a GPL-based disaster recovery solution that's been around since 2000. He's a Linux solution consultant for the Grenoble HP Intel Solution Center. Many of you also know Bruno as the EMEA lead for our open source and Linux profession. Bruno will talk to us today about Mondo Rescue and its various features and future directions. Welcome, Bruno.
Hello, everybody. So I will jump directly to slide 2 to give you an idea of what we will cover today more in detail. So the contents of the presentation will be around explaining to you what Mondo Rescue is and what are the functions provided by the tool, how to do backup and disaster recovery sets on your systems with Mondo Rescue, which are the various possibilities at restore time that you can access with the tool. Various functions will be explained depending on whether you're working with real media or virtual media through the network, for example. We will also cover some extended usages that have been developed around the project to support some ProLiant features such as YILO and some other extended conditions. We will also cover some information for you around how we deal with project management and a bit of history around how that project management has been done and will be done in the future, and also some information around future directions for the project in itself, set of new functions on which we are working, and the new upcoming 3.0 version for the end of this year or next year. So first, I would like to introduce you the solution in itself. So Mondo Rescue is a GPL disaster recovery solution. So it's governed by the GPL license, which means that you can download it, use it the way you want, have access to all the sources, and can derive work. And we hope that you will share your resulting evolution with us so that we can integrate the changes in the main line, if you wish so. The tool is distribution neutral, which means it's working on a great variety of Linux distributions. We are developing it mainly on Mandriva and Debian distributions, but we are also producing packages for Fedora, Red Hat Enterprise Linux, OpenSUSE, the SUSE Linux Enterprise Edition, as well as Gen 2 now, which has been added recently with a new 2.0.9 version. Being distribution neutral is not only providing packages for the application so that it installs very easily on the systems, but it's also trying to have official packages produced inside the distribution which are available for customers so that they can directly install the tool by doing apt-get install on Debian or Yume, using Yume with Fedora, using URPMI with Mandriva, etc. So currently, we have official packages for Mandriva, Debian, and we are working to integrate and give official support for Mondo Rescue in Fedora and in Gen2 right now. SUSE is also following very closely the development of the tool, and I have a contact inside Novell, which does the packaging of the tool, and they provide it in the OpenSUSE platform. And I hope they will integrate it in SLES in the future. Mondo Rescue is a disaster recovery solution, so that means it creates a set of media corresponding to your platform, to your running operating system, and that running operating system may be comprised of, as we said, different distributions, but also different type of file systems or different type of layout on your file system. So Mondo has also to handle all these type of complexity, such as various file systems, ext3, ext2, RiserFS, XFS, GFS, And also LVM and Software Red support should be handled by Mondo Rescue in order to restore it during the restore time. Currently, all the file systems supported by your kernel are able to be supported by Mondo, which also means, for example, that you can do dual boot support if you have a desktop machine with two operating systems, Windows and Linux. You can use the Linux part to do the disaster recovery, and it will include the content of your Windows file system and will restore it during the restore operation. If you want to use LVM or Software Red, I really highly recommend that you use the latest version 2.09, as a lot of bug fixes have been introduced to support LVM version 2. Which is used typically on Red Hat Enterprise Linux version 4, for example, and the latest Debian as well. And a lot of bugs have been corrected in that last version around these functions. We are also type of agnostic in terms of supporting the media on which you will to create your disaster recovery set. So you can burn CD, DVD, various formats of them are supported. You can also put your disaster recovery set on tapes, even if currently this is not the best supported environment, and some users have problems, and we need to work on that in the future version to solve the issues met. Additions that have been made recently concern the possibility to use Mondo Rescue for deploying restoration images through the network and making backups through the network as well. So NFS and PXE have been supported recently, and the support has been added recently, and a lot of functions, new options have been added to that set and that environment to allow you to use Mondo Rescue as really a deployment server very easily. And of course, you can also create resulting ISO images from the disaster recovery operation. You can generate them and store them locally on your disk if you prefer, and transfer them on a machine on which you can burn, for example. To work, Mondo uses a mini distribution maker, which is called Mindy. Mindy takes, in fact, your running kernel or a kernel provided by Mondo, or another kernel that you want to run as the disaster recovery kernel, and we'll use that with plus all the modules associated with that kernel, and we'll put it on the mini restoration environment that will be booted on the system during restoration, and we'll add all the required tools that you will need during restoration to support the complete from bare metal restoration operation, which means a set of basic Linux tools provided by a tool called BusyBox, and also all the tools required to do the restoration in itself. Mondo supports different type of backups. You can do full backups or differential backups. And it also provides today two interfaces, two user interfaces. One is completely command line interface based with options, which is a classical Unix interface, which will be enhanced to support long options in the future. And you also have a curses based interface, which you can launch the command directly without any parameters, and it will ask you all the related questions so that you can do the archive on one side and the restoration on the other side. So we are going to next slide. So we will look now at how to do backup and create the disaster recovery environment with Mondo. So the archiving is done with one command called Mondo Archive. So you will see, at the end of the slide the possibility to launch that Mondo Archive command with a large number of options which will drive all the way your backup and your disaster recovery set will be created. And as I said before, you can also launch it without any parameter, and it will ask all the related questions interactively to the users, to the system administrator. So Mondo Archives runs and needs to be run as root on the system. It's running on a live system, which means you don't necessarily need to stop your system or to put your system in run level in single-user mode, for example, to be able to do your archiving activity. So it can be done, for example, in the cron during the night and create ISO images on the network from a single command. The only points you need to take care of are the fact that if you are running databases or tools creating set of data which needs to stay in coherency, you will probably have to stop these tools before running the archive and creating the disaster recovery mode. Mondo Rescue is a project targeted to recreate identical system as what they were when you take the picture during the archiving. It's not really a tool used to do backup, ordinary backup. So you are intended to use Mondo to recreate your system from bare metal, and then on that system run another backup solution to restore all the data corresponding to your application and your user's data. Of course, some of the people using Mondo are using it to also doing backups, because that's one of the functions provided by the tool, but I can underline the fact that it's not really the way the tool has been designed and should be used too. So it uses different type of compression tools that you can call depending on if you want to have better compression rates, such as with BZIP2, or better speed, such as with LZO, for data compression, or an average one with GZIP. It uses, so there is no proprietary type of format to store the information, meaning that you can do all the steps that Mondo is doing automatically, manually, in case of really emergency issues for which Mondo would have an issue with recovering the data that you want from your media. It uses AFIO as a tool, which is a tool compatible with CPIO. So even if you don't have AFIO on your system and you want to restore a set of files, you can even use CPIO to have access to the set to be restored. So it supports, AFIO has been chosen over other type of tools because it supports compression on the file basis, which means it does not create a WHO archive and compress the resulting WHO archive, but it does compression on a file-by-file basis, which increases the reliability of the backup, because if you have an issue on one media with one bad bit of information on your media, you will lose only one single file and not all the archive could be corrupted by that error, for example. It's also using ASCII headers and is CPIO compatible, which makes it a very good solution to create the archives. So Mondo Archive will generate variable size bootable ISO images, or it will ask you it will give you the possibility to burn directly medias or create tapes from your running system. Creating variable size bootable ISO images allows you to create with the same command either ISO images available for with a site compatible with CD, so 700 megabytes or 650 megabytes, DVD, so 4.7 gigabytes, or whatever size, because, for example, on the network you may want to have 10 gigs or 20 gigs images that you will never be able to burn on the media right now, maybe in the future, but that you will be able to use through the network without any problem. So for example, the command line you have at the end of the slide shows you that Mondo will do an archiving of your system using a dedicated kernel with a -k option and the location of your specific kernel. Creating ISO images on an NFS server, which is mentioned with a minus N at the end of the line, in a specific directory, and these images will be called with a prefix, with a minus P option, machine 1, machine 2. You can, of course, as it's a scripture, you can create, for example, backup ISO images prefixed with the date of the operation. You can have a minus uppercase E option, which allows you to exclude some directories from the set of files to backup, which means that you will be able, for example, to, as I said before, to only focus on the system part of your machine with Mondo and let other type of backup application deal with the user data, which could be located under slash home, slash users, or whatever. And you can also relocate, for example, the temporary files. You need to know that Mondo Archive uses quite a lot of disk space to create all the sets that it will put on the ISO images. It creates first temporary files on which it puts all the information, and that gathers all these temporary files inside an ISO image. So you need sometimes three times the place of your system that you want to archive locally to be able to recreate your ISO images locally if you want. So now that we have covered how we deal with archiving, we will see a bit more about how we deal with restoring, because archiving without restoring is not very useful. So again, we have one single command called Mondo Restore. You have many ways to deal with Mondo Restore. You can just take the media which has been created during the Mondo Archive phase, and these media are bootable. They are bootable thanks to the MIND tool, which has created the boot environment needed by Mondo to be able to do the restoration. So it has, in that set of kernel modules and tools, it has added the Mondo Restore command in itself. And it has also created an init process, which will launch the Mondo Restore command at the end of the boot process, so that it will just launch the restoration of your system automatically from your bootable device. On the other hand, you can also do the restoration interactively by just launching the Mondo Restore command on the command line on a running system and get access to all the whole tree of all files which have been saved on the disaster recovery set and restore the set of files that you want to restore which could have been deleted. So it's much more a classical backup restore mechanism here. For the disaster recovery solution, we will focus much more on bootable media. So this bootable media could be of different types. Mondo Archive will create, through MIND, floppy images. You can always take and put on physical floppies or virtual floppies if we deal with ILO, for example. Or it will create these same floppy images in the El Torito part of your CD-ROM, which is the bootable part of the CD-ROM, to make a bootable CD with the content of the floppy. Or you will use also the floppy with the tapes. So you have to know that Mondo currently does not support the OBDR function of some HP tapes. And this is something on which I would like to work for one of the 3.0 version in the future. Of course, another possibility is to, as I said before, is to create the images through the network. So you can store the images on the network, take from the floppy images the kernel and initrd files, which will give you the minimum environment that you need to boot through the network using the pixel function of your network card embedded on your machine. And so when you will do the PXC boots call to your server, you will get your IP configuration. And through TFTP, you will download the kernel and the initrd environment. So the initrd is, in fact, a set of scripts, modules, tools that are the initial mini Linux operating systems that will be created to allow you to do the rest of the operations later on. So taking from the boot floppies is the information. You will be able to deploy them on the deployment server. We will detail that a bit more later. And have access to your to the restoration function through the network using PET. Mindy is also creating for you an ISO image during the archiving, which is called Mindy.iso, which is a bootable ISO image, again, that you can burn on a CD, and which gives you a set of tools that you can use to do restoration in case of a problem with the original, for example, disaster recovery set. So when you do restoration, depending on the type of restoration you choose, from floppy, CD, tapes, through the network, whatever, you will have various possibilities during the restoration. You can ask for an automatic restoration, so no more question will be asked to you. Mondo will just use the same configuration as what was stored during the archiving of your server and reapply all these parameters automatically to your server. So it will, of course, work only if you have the same hardware platform as the one on which you created the archiving set. You can also ask for an interactive mode, and in that interactive mode you will be able to change a certain number of parameters, typically what you would like to change, probably if you change, imagine that your hard drive burned and you want you build a new hard drive but which is twice the size of the old hard drive, because of course hardware is evolving all the time. So you would like to take advantage of the new layout of the disk and possibility to increase some file systems, to reduce some other file systems, etc. So Mondo will allow you to, through the interactive mode, to resize the file system, to recreate some new file systems if you want. You also have access to shell, so if you want more control, you can even go to one of the shell console to relay out completely your hard drive if you want. You can restore selective part of files, so this is more for an interactive call to Mondo Restore on the hardware platform on which you created the images in order to restore some files which have been erased typically. And you have also a very useful mode, which is a compare mode, which allows you to boot from the restore image and to ask to Mondo to compute for you all the files which have changed between the time you made the archive and the time you are running the restoration right now. So, of course, you will find a certain number of log files which have changed, but you may also, with that way, see if your how different your backup is from your running machine. So, through the interactive mode, you get access to a certain set of possibilities concerning changing the new way you will create your restoration. Of course, if you want, if you change the layout of the file system, you need to at least ensure that the size of the new file system will be large enough to host all the data brought in the archive set. So these were the description of the two main area around the Mondo Rescue project, so the archiving and creating the archive and the disaster recovery environment on one side, dealing with the restoration on the other side. Now I would like to give you some ideas on what we did specifically and how HP was involved, in fact, in the project to add some features that were useful for our own usage of the tool inside HP. So one of the first use I had around Mondo Rescue was to be able to deal with ILO and virtual media function of the ILO, so that you can, for example, restore a ProLiant system without having any physical media at hand, using a set of archive sets for precise configuration. So here, for example, in the Solution Center, we are creating demo and configuration for customers that we want to be able to replicate, for example, for events or for other solution centers or for other customers. And so creating images of some solution is very useful, and having the possibility to create everything virtually without manipulating any media is even more interesting, even more powerful for us. So we add some patches to be able to work with the ILO virtual media function, which is in fact the possibility to have the support of a USB CD-ROM during the archiving and during the restoration, as Linux is seeing the virtual media function of the ILO as a USB CD-ROM attached to the system, which is in fact going through the network to a CD-ROM which is on the machine, which has the browser dealing with the ILO. So you can, with Mondo Archive, create backups of with media mounted through the ILO and restore them by booting on this through the ILO on this archiving sets. We have also worked for prior features around SmartArray support. We have improved SmartArray support because SmartArray are using dedicated device names /dev/CCISS/something. And this type of device names were not very well supported by Mondo Archive originally. So we added, we made some patches to have a very good support of SmartArray. And the same is true for NIC support when you are dealing with PXE remote boot of Mondo Archive images. You want that the image contains all the right drivers to support all the ProLiant features, typically the new C-class blades or using a new driver for network cards, which is called the BNX2 driver, and we have integrated the support of that driver inside Mondo Rescue. So all these patches were provided as HP patches, so to give you a bit of feedback on how I was involved in the project, I first work on the project in 2000 for at that time I was in the net server team, so the old line of Intel-based servers for HP, pre-merger HP, and we had the need to preload Linux on servers to be able in EMEA to sell servers preloaded with Linux. And the production line did not want to have any interaction with Linux because they didn't have any competence at the time around the operating system and just wanted to have a CD, a media, which will allow them to deploy the operating system on the server at the end of the build of the server and put that CD in the box so that the customer will be able to have a disaster recovery solution in case of problem with the drive or in case they want to restore from scratch the image we created for them. So I looked at that time for a tool able to support this type of function, and I found that Mondo Rescue was doing 99% of what I wanted, but there were some parts missing, so I began to invest some time in patching it to support an automatic restoration, for example. So I did not want that people on the production line had any question during the restoration. So I created a mode in Mondo which was fully automatic, which is a minus H option of Mondo Archive if you want to use it. And so that was my first contact with the project, and the main developer was quite happy to see that I was interested in the project and contributed some patches. And then I had a period on which I did not use it very extensively, and I came back in 2003, and the project has evolved a bit. And at that time, I began to work on the ProLiant set of patches on the project. I also worked on the PXE support because here in the Solution Center, that was the architecture we wanted to put in place to manage the images with Mondo. So the idea is to use the PXE boot RAM of the network, the integrated network card inside the machine. So for those not really familiar with PXC, just a short reminder, it's a protocol created by Intel to do what was done on Unix system for ages, so the possibility to boot through the network. And it's working with, on the other hand, a DHCP server giving to the boot RAM of the NIC its IP configuration, a TFTP server also giving to the NIC and the boot RAM of the NIC the set of files to boot from. So when you are dealing with PXC support, you have to set up a DHCP server, a TFTP server, and you may want to use PXC Linux, which is a standard PXC stack for Linux operating system. And that PXC Linux has a configuration file. And the example on the slide here, page 10, is an example of configuration file suited for PXC Linux, which allows you to boot through TFTP for the kernel mentioned on the kernel line. So you have to create on your TFTP server a kernel subdirectory and put in it your real kernel for which corresponds to the kernel created by the Mondo archive process during the archiving phase, and that you will have, in fact, by MinD, to be precise. And that kernel can be extracted from the boot floppy created by MinD. And on the second line, you have all the parameters that you can pass to Mondo, in fact, to the init process created by MinD, so that you can start your restoration process. So you need to give the name and the location of the init.rd file, which contains all the modules suited for your machine, and that will enable you to support all the hardware that you will find on your machine. The most critical modules that you need in your init.rd are modules for the network card, of course, because as you are through the network for the deployment, you will need to activate the network card, so you will need the driver for the network card. And as well, you will need the drivers for the hardware disks. So it could be for Proliant, the CCISS driver. It could be SATA drivers. It could be IDE drivers or classical SCSI drivers, so that Mondo can repartition your disk and begin the restoration on the disk correctly. And then on top of that, you need on the command line the keyword PXC, which will trigger some configuration parameters inside the init process of Mondo. And you can give some parameters, such as a prefix, which corresponds to the minus P option you have seen on the slide with Mondo Archive. So if you name your images with a special name, you also need to give it as a parameter to the PXC environment. And you can precise the IP configuration that you want to use. Excuse me. So the IP configuration has to be precise in terms of on which LAN card you want to work, because, for example, for a ProLiant server, you have multiple NICs embedded, so you may want to use one or the other of the NIC cards to do the deployment of the image. And then you can either precise a static configuration, so you can see here with an IP address, netmask, broadcast, and gateway address, or you can just use the keyword DHCP instead of all these four addresses, so that the machine makes a DHCP request to get the IP configuration, which is maybe more suited for a large deployment environment. And you can fix the IP address through the static affectation inside the DHCP server by giving always the same IP address to the same MAC address, for example. And then the last parameter you need to precise is the NFS mount, so to give to the machine where to find the NFS server containing the images and in which directory it will find the Mondo Rescue images, so that it can mount them during the restore process and begin the restoration of the whole set of files. So these patches also have been done as part of my work in the HP Intel Solutions Center, so that we can work correctly here with Mondo Rescue. And these patches have been, of course, redistributed to the project. So Mondo Rescue is part of has been approved by the OSRB, which is the open source review board inside HP. And if you are working on a free software project, you have to get approval from the OSRB so that your work and what you do in terms of patches and contribution to the project could be redistributed to the project without any problem. Using GPL is clearly facilitating things here because it's a very well-known license now, and people are used to HP contributor to GPL-based projects. Another function which is not originally part of Mondo is a possibility to use Mondo as a cloning tool. Of course, the idea of using Mondo as a cloning tool has an issue that you can get very rapidly, which is when you want to clone a system, if you clone a system which has the same hardware set of components, it won't be any problem because Linux is quite tolerant in terms of supporting cousins of in terms of hardware components and chipsets. But if you want to go from a SCSI-based machine to a CCISS-based machine or a SATA-based machine, or if you want to change the network card used to do the deployment of your image, you may have more troubles to deal with that, of course. So the first thing when you want to use Mondo Rescue for cloning is that you need to have a very good knowledge of the master and the target platforms due to that set of drivers that could be different and take care of these differences and handle them in Mondo so that it works correctly. If you want to be able to restore on a platform which has a different set of hardware as the original one, all drivers should be part of the MIDI image created. So either you have all these drivers on your master machine and you just need to load them to be sure that MIDI will use them all and provide them all in the boot environment for the restoration, or you have to force them to be present in MIDI. And currently this is done by hacking the MIDI script to add them. It's planned for version 3.0 to externalize this type of configuration item in configuration files, so allowing the administrator to, who knows what it has, to change the set of modules that MIDI will use on the target platform to integrate all the right modules. If master and target platforms are identical hardware platforms and you want to have a completely automatic restoration process, you may want to use the minus uppercase H option, which is the option I created for the production line of the net server. And so it will just ask you one confirmation when booting the system. You will have to type the fact that you want to restore the machine, and after that it will not ask to you any question and do the restoration up to the end. So it's very suited for mass deployment of identical systems. In other cases, if you don't want to use an automatic mode during restoration, all the other functions are also available during restoration, as we explained before, so resizing of partitions, file system type change, etc. So you can deal with hardware adaptation at that level easy if you change the size of your hard drive, add hard drives, want to increase your LVM environment, etc. And again, during restore, you always have, if you are not in automatic mode and you want to do some manual steps in between, you always have the possibility to have a prompt on the system and do some things before launching the restoration. So I would like also to share with you some information around the project management. I already discussed some of them during the talk, but I have some other information I would like to share with you because it could be interesting if you have in mind to take over or to maintain a free software project. There also are some information that you could find useful in that. So the project started in December started in 2000, and I was involved since December 2000. So I was lucky enough to be involved early in the loop, which makes things easier when you want to take the maintenance of the project, such as what I did in 2005. In fact, the project had a lot of users and a lot of activity during years 2000 up to 2003, 2004. And then after that, the main developer had other type of issues, personal issues, various issues, professional as well, which did not allow him to continue a steady work on Mondo Rescue. And there were a certain set of patches floating around, which were not applied. There was no repository for the sources since 2004, in fact. I had the access to the in commit mode to the Subversion repository, and the Subversion repository was just not working since 1 year, so no possibility to integrate patches and work on the source. So seeing that and using the tool myself inside HP for our project, I decided that it was more useful to not let the project die, because I already invested some time on it. I was knowing the code a bit and able to do modifications on it quite easily, and it was useful for us. I decided to take over the maintenance of the project rather than to let it die. And the first thing I created was a new Subversion repository on Belly OS, which is a sort of SourceForge portal, and integrated all the sources that were last published by the main developer, proposing to him to give him write access, proposing to all the people who have had write access on the Subversion repository in the past to give them also write access to the new repository. And in fact, only one person was really interested to pursue on the project, and he was the Debian packager of Mondo Rescue. So he has also currently write access on the project. So since that point, and I began to integrate the floating patches that were around and adding some of the bug fixes I wanted to integrate due to our own usage of the tool. And so since that, we have published 5 versions. The main developer has let us take over the maintenance of the project. He's not part of the project anymore. He gave us the possibility to reuse the domain name and all the infrastructure around Mondo Rescue. So we have published five new versions since that point, so October, November 2005. And we have also worked a lot on creating a new build process. So my first activity was around software engineering, and I'm always very interested by improving the quality of the code, and Mondo Rescue code is not currently at the way it should be. Looking at the standard I consider that should be used in software development for free software. So I worked around a new build process to generate packages very easily from the source code, from the Subversion repository, in fact. So I've already created 2 generations of the build process, and I'm now generating automatically, completely, 12 different versions of Mondo packages, thanks to QEMU, which is an emulator. So I have 12 different virtual machines corresponding to all the version we maintain, so 3 versions for Mandriva, 2 versions for Red Hat, 2 versions for Fedora, 2 versions for Red Hat Enterprise Linux, 2 versions for SLES now, 1 for OpenSUSE, and now 1 for Debian as well. And so we are, when I decide to publish a new version, I have a script which runs all the night and generates all the packages for the distribution completely automatically from the source code. But also, having a new dynamic around the project is only possible if you have an active community of people reporting anomalies, bugs. So we were also in need of reactivating the mailing list and answering questions of people. So I took a lot of time to try to answer the questions people had on the mailing list and dealing with real bugs, non-real bugs, environmental bugs, It's sometimes difficult, but it's very enrich. You're really learning a lot of things by doing this type of process, answering questions. So I really wish now to find other people who will be able to answer to more basic questions and try to focus more on the more difficult questions and the one which requires to hack the code to be able to answer positively to customer requests or users' requests. We also recreated completely a new website because the old one was really, what I said, it was really old, a bit old-fashioned. So I tried to remove all obsolete information from it and recreate new pages which were more smooth to navigate through. And I also had some help from a friend here in France concerning the possibility to reuse the layout of an existing website, you know, because I'm not a website designer, so I did not want to pass too much time on cascading style sheet and things like that. So I reused, in fact, the layout of an existing project, which is the game Frozen Bubble, which had a very good website, and I just changed the content, keeping the layout of the website. Same problem was with the Mondo Rescue how-to. There was a documentation existing for the project, so which was in need of some rewrite for some sections, but also we lost the original HTML code. Only the HTML version was available at that time. So I reproduced the HTML code, and now the production of the documentation is also part of the production of the software, which means that documentation, man pages, and software are up to date and generated at the same time all together. And more recently, which is not on the slide, I also wanted to get rid of Belly OS, which was very helpful during nearly 1 year, but was suffering some limitations and some problems of availability. So I decided to, on the website, on the same machine hosted here by HP, by the way, on the same machine to add a tool called Track, which allows you to manage very easily software releases, bug reports, enhancement requests, a wiki around your project, in link with Subversion. So you can make very easily links between the revision in your Subversion tree, the bug report in your bug report tool. Everything is planned to do that, and I should thank Lionel Vincent for giving me the idea to use Track, because it was a very bright idea. And we are really, it's really a useful tool that will help us improve greatly the availability of the software and the distribution of the software. Okay, so some information around on what are we working right now, if I can print it, because it seems it's changing. So on slide 15. just for your information, I'm using the new Linux version of the virtual room environment, thanks to the people who developed it and made it available just on time for that TUX talk. Well, I would like to thank them. And it's really great to be able to use only Linux to do this presentation right now. So, to except that it's browsing, not the right slide. So it's for 2.05. 2.05 has been published with a new package for new distributions. Typically, I'm now producing Debian packages natively, which are not the same as the Debian packages which are official in Debian. There are some small differences, and we still need to work on it with the other developer called André Leidenfrost to be able to solve these issues. I don't know if someone could help me keep the 15th slide on the screen, because it seems that it's always jumping to another one. We have made a certain number of fixes around LVM and MD support LVM version 2, especially for Red Hat Enterprise Linux 4, on which we had some issues and was not working correctly. So now it should be fixed. And don't hesitate to report anomalies if you want to use the tool around this, because it's still new and we need more testers and more people involved so that we can improve the quality of the software. And we'll also increase some limits, but it's only for the time being. There are too many hard-coded limits inside the project that I don't like, and I want to change that in the future to have configuration files which are external to the software and allowing you to adjust the limits at the administrator level and not at the developer level. So we want to externalize them, but it will not be available before 3.0. So in the meantime, to solve some issues, we increase some limits inside the code. We will have a version 2.2 to fix bugs and improve some points for example, bonding support. Right now, people using the network support are happy with it, but some of the users want to be able to have bonding interface supported to do the deployment of the server and the archiving of the server, which is not supported right now. So one of the main points for 2.2 will be that. But 2.2 will stay on the stable branch and will stay a maintenance release mostly. Not a lot of new features should appear there. Most of the work I'm doing right now with André is focused on the version 3.0. A patch which has already been integrated is internationalization, so the Mondo Rescue will be able to speak your own language on screen, which will make it probably more appealing for a lot of other people for who English is not a native language. Of course, as I said, we want to externalize in configuration files a certain number of functions, so limits on a certain number of items, but also the possibility to choose a compression mode, the possibility to choose which command to burn your media, which options to burn the media, because it really depends too much on the type of hardware you have, and it's impossible to maintain in the code. So it should be externalized. It's creating too many problems which are not related, in fact, to Mondo, but to the type of burner you have, the type of command you are using, GrowEasyFS, DVD record, CD record, whatever. Another point which is really important, on which I'm working a lot, is memory management. So, and also dealing with limits increasing. A lot of the code was using strcpy, for example, to do a copy of strings. So it's really not error-prone, and we need to improve the memory management by doing completely dynamic memory allocation instead of static memory allocation. So I've changed already more than 1,500 calls inside the code to be able to support dynamic memory allocation, and it's not finished. I still need to work on it a bit. And we also need to work on more on IE64 ports. So that was one of the things I did in the meantime during 2000-2003, was to be able to have an IE64 Nitanium version of Mondo. That version is working, it's existing, but it's only working probably on my workstation, which is under my desk, which is not very useful for other people. So I really need to get more feedback on that, and I really need to do more tests here internally first, and then probably advertise it a bit so that other people could use it. Also, there is a FreeBSD port inside the code, but I don't know which is the state of the FreeBSD port right now, so I need to rework a bit on it, and I'm not a FreeBSD user, so I need to learn a bit on FreeBSD before being able to produce something useful for that. And the last item on which I want to work is build environment improvements, which deals this time, so not with the production, which is already quite very good, I think, but increasing the tests to not rely only on users to report bugs, but to have some automatic means of finding bugs inside the program. So having a test suite for Mondo, which will allow for more easy tests. We have begun to do that for some low-level functions, but we want to increase that for the whole program. Generally speaking, we want to improve QA by using some tools such as Vigrant or Splint to report errors as early as possible. And probably that's my software engineering background, which is driving that that part of the development. But I find it very important to make a more more stable code. On that slide, you have some resources. So the main website is mondorescue.org. The Berlioz version was useful since beginning of August, but since that it has been really deprecated. So now only use the mondorescue.org to have access to information around the tool. Some mailing lists are always hosted by Berlioz or SourceForge for the historical mailing list. And BusyBox is mentioned because that's really the critical part of Mindy. It's using a completely BusyBox to create the mini boot environment that you will use, so that is server mentioned here. But a lot of other tools, or other free software tools, are used by the project and are very useful in the project, coming from VI up to Apache for the web server, etc. So, and Track and all these type of tools. So it's really a work which could not be done without all the evolution around open source software which has been done in the past. And here you have the information if you want to contact me by mail, but you probably already know that because you're all inside HP. That presentation is also used for external presentation during events in Europe. Okay, so I think it's time to take questions, if there are some questions.
Well, thank you very much, Bruno, first for your informative presentation on Mondo Rescue. I mean, this is a really good example of how an open source project can be run and all the issues that you're working with, obviously all the technical features you're developing, but also you've given us some insights into how you took over the project and worked through that. So in the Q&A, we can maybe have some more discussion around some of those things. So just wanted to open it up to everyone. Now, you can ask questions in a couple of ways. One, if you'd like to ask your question live on the phone, raise your hand in the virtual room, and I'll call on you. Just click on the hand up button there. Otherwise, if you want to submit a written question in the virtual room, you can do that. I just was looking in the group chat, and apparently the questions button is not yet available in the Linux version of virtual room. So just go ahead and submit your question in the group chat, and I'll take it from there and bring it up here in the forum. So let's start off with a question from Gary Hicks. Mondo seems similar in function to System Imager. Can you compare the two and point out where one tool might be a better choice than the other?
Well, System Imager is... So I'm not a specialist around System Imager. First, System Imager is probably a very good tool because it's developed partly by HP employees as well. So I think it's also a very interesting solution. It's not, in my opinion, targeted for disaster recovery environments, but more for cluster constitution rather than disaster recovery in itself. So the target of the tool, the original goal around the tool is a bit different. Now with the evolution of both tools, they are probably overlapping on a certain number of functions. I know that System Imager is based on rsync as a tool to create the set of files and the it's not based on images that you can burn in my knowledge. Maybe I'm wrong and I could stand corrected by someone more knowledgeable around System Imager, but I think it's more using a network type of configuration environment. It's used to deploy a large set of computing clusters, for example. And it's not, in my knowledge, using physical media to create backup media or disaster recovery media that you could give to other customers or to reuse remotely to reproduce a configuration or things like that. That's my understanding of the project. I'm sorry, I just switched to the Windows environment to look at the question which has been asked during the session, which I've not seen on my Linux port.
Let's go to the next question from Patricio Paez. Have you cloned PCs with Windows XP and NTFS partitions?
Okay. So first, Mondo is able to do disaster recovery of a dual boot system. So if you have an NTFS partition on your disk and a Linux partition on your disk, Mondo Rescue will be able to create a disaster recovery media of the whole set of partitions. Now there is someone currently working on a live CD containing Mondo Rescue based on Knoppix. That will allow you to boot on the live CD, launch Mondo Rescue, so you will have your Linux environment, and you should be able at the end to make the backup of the Windows machine if only Windows is installed on the system. So it has been a request made on the mailing list for a couple of months, and there is someone working on making it work with Knoppix, but it's not there yet. We will have to wait a bit, because we will probably need to make some changes inside the Mondo Rescue code to be able to support that, mainly the fact that we won't want to restore the Linux part seen by Mondo on the Windows machine at the end. So we need to shroot or something like that to be able to restore only what we need on the Windows side.
Related question from Al Simons. Can Mondo now handle NTFS partitions at the file level?
No, not at the file level. It's seeing NTFS partition as a rule. It uses the NTFS clone command to do the archiving of that NTFS partition, and I mean that's part which has been coded by the other developer of the project, so André Leidenfrost, and he has done the NTFS test and work with a new implementation of the NTFS support because it was rewritten recently, but it's working as a rule and not as at file level for NTFS.
Question from Janardhan. If a file is changing rapidly, does Mondo Rescue create a snapshot of the file and back it up?
No, what you could do in that environment is using the differential mode of Mondo Rescue to have first a base snapshot of your system and create new differential incremental backups during time of your system. But again, Mondo Rescue is targeted for disaster recovery, not for backup functions. So these type of functions are not part of the goal of the project, at least right now.
A related question from Brendan Murphy about differential backups. When you say differential backups, does Mondo take into account files deleted since the last full backup or higher differential backup, i.e., can I take a full backup on Monday, delete a very large file on Tuesday, and then take a differential backup on Wednesday, then do a disaster recovery using Monday and Tuesday's backup? In that situation, will the deleted file be recovered, or will Mondo remove the file?
That's a very good question. I don't have a very good answer because I've never experienced myself the differential model of Mondo. I mean, even if I took over maintenance of the project in last October, there are still large part of the code that I have not looked at in detail, and the differential mode of Mondo is something I don't know myself. So I can't really answer on that question. Sorry.
Ask a related question around your assumption of the lead role in Mondo and how the dynamics of all that worked out. Could you maybe talk to us? I mean, you gave us a little bit of insights into how that happened. I was wondering if you could elaborate on that some more in terms of when you joined the team as a lead developer, how were the dynamics of the team? How did they sort of, how were you able to get into that role pretty smoothly? How did you interact with the rest of the team? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. In fact, when speaking about Mondo Rescue, speaking about a team is maybe a bit excessive. I mean, Mondo Rescue was a single-person development originally. So the name of the developer is Hugo Rapson, and Hugo has been the lead development of the tool. There were other people having commit access to the Subversion tree originally. I was part of them. There were four people, in fact, able to commit in write mode to improve the code of Mondo, but we were only doing very small changes and not without speaking with Hugo first to be sure that it was in line with what he had in mind. So it was really a single-person project and with the help of some others. And when that person find himself buried by other duties and other problems, personal problems or professional problems, he did not have enough time to dedicate to the project to make it live in the future, and we were all seeing that. So there were a group, a small list of people very interested by the project, and we first asked the question between ourselves, what can we do to help? Is there anything we can do to reduce the load, improve the process, and but there was not a lot of answer, and at that time nobody jumped and said, I want to take the maintenance of the project instead of Hugo, because we were all feeling that the original developer has more authority on the project than all the rest of us, of course. But during time, and after 1 year, so that question arise in 2004, and during 1 year there was very few change on the project, and we all feel that the project would just at the end die. And what motivates me to take over the project was say, I don't want that all these hundreds of lines of code just disappear and become useless. I mean, that was a waste of intelligence of someone and of the possibility to reuse the work done. There was not a lot of pieces missing at that time, but just the will to take a bit of time and to put them together and to give again a bit of life to the project. So I decided that maybe it was time for me to do more for the open source that I was doing before. I mean, I've been involved in Linux since 93, so I've done a lot of things around using it, but not a lot around contributing to it except through documentations or things like that. So being involved in the project, I was first not sure I would have the right authority or the right technical competencies to do it correctly. I was not knowing the code very well, and you see with your question that it's always the case. There are always some parts of the code which are unknown to me right now. But, I mean, rather than letting die, I really would prefer to take time and do that for the community, because there are not a lot of tools able to fill this feature right now. There is another one called MKCDREC, which has the same type of goals as Mondo and is as old as Mondo, in fact. But there are the only two tools available right now to do this type of features, and I wanted to maintain it and to keep it work. And so I contacted Hugo and the other developers saying, okay, thinking to all of that, I think I should take over the maintenance to avoid that the project dies. And nobody, except if anybody is ready to do that, and nobody jumped to say, I want to do it, so I was elected by default, in fact. And Hugo was very helpful to give me all the information around the domain name, around access to the current code, etc., so that I could take over the maintenance as easy as possible. But what helped me a lot was the fact that I had a strong software engineering background and a strong usage of various open source software tools, such as subversions, such as configuring a web server, such as setting up some mailing list in place, or things like that. So it's helping a lot when you want to take over the maintenance of a project, because you already know most of the parts of the maintenance of the project you will have to deal with, and you just need to put all this together and have the will to. Give again energy to the project, in fact.
I think that's very instructive, Bruno, what you've just mentioned there is, you know, the fact that you were a member of the project and you had gotten involved with the developer community as you had commit access, and then when the lead developer decided to step aside, you were able to come in, and you didn't have to necessarily know everything that he knew about the project. You just had to have some amount of energy and motivation and, of course, some knowledge about it, but you were able to pretty much assume that lead role with the support of the fellow developers in the project, because I think everybody wants to see the project succeed. And if here is a person who's stepping up and volunteering to take some initiative and make it happen, I think in the open source community, overall, we tend to be very supportive of that kind of thing. So I think this is very instructive for anyone else in our profession who happens to be listening to this and maybe thinking, well, you know, I'd really like to take a more leadership role in some of these open source projects, but I don't know if I can do it or not. Quite often, it's just, you know, having that initiative and interest to get involved. And really, people are willing to help you along the way. I mean, you probably encountered this. If anyone, the very fact that you were showing interest and wanting to take on some of the work that perhaps had gotten neglected, that in and of itself will motivate others to say, sure, if this guy's going to help them do this, I'll really, you know, support him. Here's how you do X, Y, and Z, all that kind of stuff. I bet that's what you found.
Yeah, that's what happened, in fact. Seeing that someone was really answering, the main point was the mailing list. Seeing that someone was again answering to questions, trying to take care of problems, trying to commit bug fixes that were sent by others. I mean, at the origin, I was able to fix a certain number of issues myself, but there are some other, for example, the NTFS part that I was completely unable to do, and I'm still unable to do that. So thanks to the contribution of other people sending patches, thinking all together in the mailing list, encouraging ourselves to go on and being gentle when we made mistakes and being very proactive to send information and helping in various ways. That's where you feel what an open source community really is. A set of people really motivated by driving one project to improve it all the time. And to be honest, it's really taking time. I mean, my family is probably not as happy as I that I took over as maintenance of the project. But it's really really bringing so much good things in your professional and private life that it's really worth it.
Sure. Definitely. Yeah, I think we would all agree with that. Okay, let's go on to some more technical questions. This one from anonymous. I guess they didn't want to submit who they were. Can Mondo be what Ignite UX is?
Yeah. I mean, Ignite has two parts, in fact. Ignite is the imaging part of Ignite is what Mondo Rescue is. The other part of Ignite, which is automatic installation, is more what a kickstart mechanism is, or an auto-yes for SUSE, or auto-install for Mandrake. I mean, each Linux distribution has its own automatic installation mode, FAI for Debian, etc. So that's one part of Ignite. The other part of Ignite is imaging process, and Mondo Rescue does what Ignite does for the imaging part, yes.
Next question from Patricio Paez. Can you compare Mondo versus PartImage?
No, not really. I mean, in my understanding, PartImage is dealing with partitions as a rule. Mondo is dealing with files. I mean, on the Linux side, not on the NTFS side, but on the Linux side, it's dealing with the knowledge of the file system, so it's using IFIO to create organized set of files that you want to backup, but it's dealing with the structure of the file system, and when you will restore the same structure, a clean structure of a file system. With PartImage, you're imaging partitions as a whole and without having a knowledge of what is inside. Again, that's my understanding of PartImage. I've not used it a lot.
Next question. Does the dash S flag set the limit for the archive or the maximum for each piece of it?
Oh, excuse me. Can you repeat this one?
Does the dash S flag set the limit for the archive or the maximum for each piece of it?
It's the maximum for each piece of it.
Okay. Alrighty. Next question. What is ILO? I guess some acronyms we should probably explain.
Yeah, so the ILO is the Integrated Lights Out component, which is embedded on the ProLiant line of HP servers. This is a, you can take it as a sort of mini operating system plus network card, completely separated from the rest, allowing you to have access to a management environment for your machine, whatever the state of the server, whatever the operating system installed on it, and whatever it should only need to be powered on, to get power from the power line, And whatever the status of the machine, it could be managed through that component inside the system. So you can power it on, you can do installation of operating system, you can have remote access to the running operating system through a browser. And one of the functions of the ILO component is giving you virtual media feature for your running operating system, which means that the local operating system running on your server will see a CD-ROM attached to it, which is not, in fact, local. So locally, the operating system thinks it's a USB-attached CD-ROM, but in fact, it's going through the ILO component up to the browser on your desktop machine, and the CD-ROM you are seeing is in fact the CD-ROM which sits on that desktop machine. So you can put a CD on your desktop machine in Grenoble and do the installation of a server which is in Palo Alto, for example, through the ILO. And Mondo Rescue has been improved to support that function so that you can deploy images made by Mondo through that mechanism. And of course, you can attach a physical media through the virtual media, or you can attach an image file as a media. I hope it's clear enough.
Sounds good. Okay, next question comes from Craig Gilmore. My only issue with Mondo is remembering the key mapping from a US to a French keyboard. Has a README been created on how to correct this?
This has been fixed in 2009. I mean, there was an issue with the keyboard handling, which is probably a very old one, and I fixed it in 2009, so I would be very happy to get feedback to see if it's really fixed for everybody. And if not, I take log files and a bug report.
Sure.
I would very like to get that in order to fix it once for more.
Sure. Okay, next question is from Brendan Murphy. Mondo seems to have a heavy reliance on other open source products. Do you have an influence on how these products are updated?
That's a good question. Currently, the relationships I have with other open source projects are more with the people making distributions. Concerning, for example, BusyBox, I have had one bug report open for BusyBox, which was related to Mondo in the past, without a lot of influence on the way it could be updated because it was a complex problem linked to kernel version and BusyBox itself. It was not really a full BusyBox problem. So, I mean, generally the influence you have on other projects is easy to establish. You just say that you are using, for example, BusyBox to the BusyBox people, and they're already considering you as someone interesting, generally. And when you report an issue, you need to create a clever bug report and not a basic one. You need to give information showing that you try to look at the solution, you try to implement some workaround, you try to think to what could be the problem, and then you create influence on the project by just proving that you are serious about the way you are using that project, and that you really want to improve both your project and the other one by reporting good bug reports. Now, concerning evolutions, I don't have a lot of needs myself in Mondo for new functions on the other open source projects. So, but if I had, I mean, it would be very easy to contact these people and to discuss with them. I mean, generally, people are quite open to receive suggestions and welcome discussions around the evolution on their project. At least that's what I try.
Yeah, very well said. I mean, there's a very good ways to interact with the open source community. Okay, the next question comes from Juan Valoria. Is Mondo Rescue supported formally by HP?
Oh, that's a very good question. That's one of the problems I have right now. I have received requests from some HP customers who want to get support from HP for Mondo. And currently I don't know how to do that very easily. to give background, I'm part of a CNI organization, so if people want to get consulting, for example, around Mondo to have new functions, to have improvements, to have architecture advices to put it in place, create a deployment server with Mondo, whatever, that's easy. I can do that very easily because I can charge my time to do that for a customer. So this part is easy. When we deal with formal support 24/7 or whatever, it's another team. And currently there is no, I have tried to establish links between between the support organization, Oslo, and myself to try to solve this issue. I think we can say that, for example, an HP customer such as Hertz is asking for Mondo support, but they want a global support, of course. So it means training support centers, having a process in place to deal with the support of Mondo. And currently that's a bit difficult to establish. I'm working on it. It's quite new, to be honest, also, this feedback. And there are also requests coming from some internal HP organization to use Mondo for their own purposes, so managed services typically, and also people wanting to, again, on the production line, wanting to pre-install Linux on some systems would have this type of need and want also to get support. So we will have to find something. I don't know what solution will be, and it's a bit difficult right now for me to understand all the links I need to establish to be able to get a positive answer up to the customer.
I'd like to build on what Bruno just said as well. I think this is a really good example of a very much untapped value proposition that we have in HP. If you take a look at members of our profession who are open source technologists, and many of us are either involved in open source projects or at least advanced users of them, the whole notion that we can develop a huge degree of expertise with the leading open source projects in the marketplace, and then particularly take the ones that are very applicable to enterprise-wide environments, we can then capitalize on that expertise by selling in the form of consulting, managed services, support, all these different kind of ways. We can really provide real value to customers by saying, hey, we're HP, and not only are our employees involved in participating in these projects individually and personally, but we as a company can provide enterprise-grade support and tap into these guys' expertise. So I think this is a dynamite opportunity for all of you in the profession to really, you know, not only build the expertise of the profession, but then add value to HP's overall mission in terms of its serving customers. So keep that in mind when you work on these open source projects. And any of you who are working on open source projects that are, you know, becoming more and more visible, let's talk about how we can get them more integrated into HP's formal support and services offerings.
Yeah, I think it's also right now for me it's a problem of chicken and egg. The support organization will only put something in place when there is a sufficient demand for it. And right now we are beginning with this type of demands. So we need to gather some very big names in terms of support in order to establish something. Or we need to start on a very low level and deal with that regionally, for example, at the beginning before extending it if it's successful.
Right. Very good point. Okay, let's go to the next question from Sam Gigliuto. I hope I'm not mispronouncing that. Has anyone spoken to you about how Mondo Rescue can be used to backup, restore, or even build an Oracle 10G rack?
Has anyone spoken to me? I mean, I have done myself Oracle 10G rack installation, so there is no issue, in my opinion, for using Mondo to create images of Oracle 10G rack systems, except that you would need to stop Oracle 10G before doing the archiving.
Next question here from Craig Gilmore. I'd like to see better support for LVM rather than just the I want my LVM file. Will the new LVM changes address this, especially with RHEL4 using LVM by default?
That's a good question. Someone knowing the project. Okay, right now it's always using I want my LVM. I have not wanted to change that before understanding all the implication it has if I break it. So the new LVM changes have been done at the Mindy and Mondo level in order for RHEL4 to be well supported. I've made the RHEL4 images recently with that version because I was in need for it. I welcome again feedback and precise feedback offline around maybe issue. I hope not, but maybe issues you still have around it.
Okay. Last question, since we are running very short on time now. Since Bruno is also the EMEA lead for the open source and Linux profession, I just wanted to turn it over to him to, if he had any comments or recommendations or suggestions that he'd like to mention to those in the audience who may be members of the profession in EMEA. Is there anything you'd like to add or say, Bruno?
Yeah, I'm perceived as I mean, I have the perception that I've not done enough right now to animate that profession in EMEA. And I would really like to get feedback from you on what we could do to improve the way the profession is improving your daily job. What are you waiting from us to do? More information, more sessions organized like this one, more trainings, more face-to-face meetings, more whatever. So I would really like to get feedback from you on what I could do on my side to improve the way the profession is organizing its activities.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bruno. That was a very good presentation. I think we learned a lot, not only technically about Mondo Rescue, but also your role as an open source developer and also some broader implications for those of us in the profession and really want to get involved and more interested in doing these kind of things. Please, everybody, stay on the line to complete the closing surveys. That's important for us to get feedback on your experience with the Tux Talks. Those of you who are not members of the open source and Linux profession, if you liked our talk today and would like to continue to be involved in a community of practice that's doing some cool and interesting things, please consider joining the open source and Linux profession at directory.professions.hp.com. And as always, feel free to send feedback to the profession leads at opensourceprofession-leads@groups.hp.com. Thanks, everybody, and let me turn it back over to Sashant.